Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
As we live our lives after the resurrection, as we live as Easter people in community, as we try and understand the impact of Easter and the resurrection on our daily lives, we have to understand that there's not just the message of salvation for eternity, that someday, at some point in the future, Easter will make a difference in your life, that at some point you will be able to claim Christ and therefore somehow the gates of heaven will be opened and you'll just usher in. It's about how do you live today. If you remember the story of the resurrection, even though Jesus had come back from the grave, the disciples were still living in fear. It tells us that when Jesus first met with the disciples, they were locked behind a door for fear of what was happening in their community. When he came to Thomas and the disciples told them that they have seen the risen Lord, he said, I don't believe it. Until I see it for myself, I'm not going to believe that this really happened. Jesus comes to Thomas and shares his presence. He says, put your hand in my side, feel the hole in my hand. It is really, really me. Jesus is trying to come into Thomas's life to deal with one of the biggest issues that is driving most of our behaviors and most of our future, and that is the fear that drives most of what we do. You see, we live either by one of two standards. We either live optimistically with faith, we're living into the future, we're pursuing some better life, or we're running away from something. There's some fear of missing out, a fear of what other people will think. There's something that is driving us. Even though we may not be able to articulate it, there's something that we're afraid of. And Jesus' death and resurrection, while ushering in the hope of eternity, often also was intended to do away with the fear that drives most of us. If you look at Jesus' words, I wanted to share a couple of scripture verses about what Jesus is saying throughout the gospel and see if you see a common theme in most of what Jesus is telling his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, so don't be afraid. You are worth much more than many sparrows. In Matthew chapter 9, take courage, son. Your sins are forgiven. Don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough. In Luke chapter 8, don't be afraid, just believe, and your daughter will be well. In Matthew chapter 14, it's all right, I am here, don't be afraid. In Matthew chapter 10, do not fear those who can kill the body, but can't kill the soul. In Luke chapter 12, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, don't be troubled. Trust in God, now trust in me. Later on in chapter 14, he says, don't be troubled or afraid. In Luke chapter 24, why are you frightened, he asked. Why are your hearts filled with doubt? And in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus came and touched them, and he said, arise, do not be afraid. This morning as we gather and we look at our lives kind of post-Easter, what difference does Easter make in our here and now? It's the realization that in our lives we are being pursued or we're being pressured by our fear of something. There's something that drives our lives, something that we're running away from instead of something that we're running towards. Jesus' message throughout the gospel is reminding us about the power of faith to transform our lives so that we're no longer just frightened of what other people will say or think or do, but we're pursuing a better life than what we're currently afraid of. And I want you to think about your life or your kid's life or something. Think about whether they're running away from something We're running towards something. I read a statistic earlier this week, and I don't know if you believe this to be true, but it says that the average child today has as much stress and anxiety in their life as a psychiatric patient did in the 1950s. Let me ask you, is your life busier today than it's ever been? Do you feel that you have more stress, more anxiety? What will the future be like? What's happening to your schedule? What are you going to do the rest of the afternoon? Sometimes our fear of trying to miss out, our fear of what others will say, drives our behavior. And I wondered if you found the solution, if you had something that could alleviate that stress and anxiety in our children, would you do it? Would you offer them a greater hope than just the fear of competition, fear of what other people say? Throughout the Bible, Jesus is constantly talking to his disciples. He's talking to his friends. And he's constantly saying, don't be afraid. You're afraid of so many things. And it's hindering your future and what you can become. So this morning, I wanted to look at one of the greatest messages that Easter has to offer us is we no longer have to be afraid. Not just of death, not just of that big moment in our lives, but of the here and now, of the things that are happening in your own life. If God was willing to let his son die on a cross and then bring him back to life, is there anything that he wouldn't do for you? Is that not a sense of courage and a sense of hope? So this morning I want to look at a passage of the disciples and how fear can sap the very energy of our lives, of our existence, unless we deal with it in a very constructive way. So this morning we're going to read a passage from Matthew chapter 8 to look at how the disciples faced fear and how it almost destroyed their lives. And hopefully next week we're going to look at how we can begin to build so that fear never has room in your life. Will you join with me as we let God's word into our inner being? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I know he has a purpose for my life. Listen to the disciples as they face their fears. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Immediately, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father God, we come this morning to be inspired and encouraged by your presence. Speak to us now through the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about the power of Easter, of that momentous event to shape your life, of recognizing that God came into our lives to do what we could not do for ourselves. As we come, we recognize that God has done an amazing thing among us. He came into the world to offer us a hope that transcends our greatest fear, fear of death. If you're no longer afraid of death, afraid of what happens beyond, how does that change how you live here and now? And the question that I wanted to ask or form is, what difference would it make in your life if you lived by faith and not fear as you moved into the future? How would your life be different if it were governed by faith? That God had called you to some mission, some task, some existence as a Christian, that God had called you to something, and that he is leading the path forward. How much of our being is determined by the fear that we have of what other people will say? As we grow up as children, whether it's in sports or whether it's in school, we attach these values to ourselves about the things that we can't do. That whether it's you're not You can't shoot the ball far enough. You can't hit the ball. You can't be on a team. You're not as athletic. You're not as pretty. You're not as smart. Whatever it is, we attach these adjectives to ourselves. These are the things we can't do. And as a result, we live in fear of what other people will say, other people will do. Jesus came to give us a new beginning, a new hope. If Jesus came and lived and died, is there anything that God wouldn't give to you? If he was not willing even to spare his own son, is there not anything that he wouldn't do for you? And yet we live so often in fear, kind of behind closed doors, afraid of stepping out because it's not what normally is done. In our story this morning, the disciples gather and they get on a boat. Now, these are fishermen. If fishermen know how the Sea of Galilee, they know the sea, they know how to read the signs. They know what happens. These are guys that are confident, so they get in the boat, but it tells us that suddenly a storm arose. But it's not just any storm. In Matthew's gospel, he uses a word to describe the storm called seismos, from which we get the word seismic, seismograph. It was a momentous earthquake of an adventure. The sea just seemed to erupt underneath them so much that they were taken by surprise, nothing that they could prepare for. And as a result, they recognized that they were out of control. They were no longer in their element. You see, there are things that happen in your life. There are difficulties that will arise from time to time that will shake you to your very core. You are not prepared for it. It will be a seismic event, and you will not be able to control your life. What fear does is fear tells you over and over again, you are not in control. Maybe it's something that's happened at the hospital. Maybe you get that phone call late at night that says you are not in control of all things in your own life. It is a seismic event. What I want you to understand is what fear steals from you is your sense of confidence. You don't have control. In Matthew chapter 8, he uses this example of the storm almost erupting. That word seismos is used only two other times in Matthew's gospel. When Jesus is crucified, it tells us that when he died, he breathed his last and it was shaken to its core. If you go to the next slide, thanks. And when it was shaken, it was a seismic event. It shook the earth to its core. It also tells us, if you can go back, thanks, that whenever that event happened, that in Matthew chapter 28, when the stone was rolled away, it shook the earth to its core. And so Matthew is telling us that in the Sea of Galilee, they had a seismic shaking that equaled the event when Jesus died and when he was resurrected. He's telling us it shook them to their core. Have you ever had that kind of event, whether it was you personally or somebody that you knew, that they got that phone call and it just shook them to their core? They felt vulnerable. Fear does that to you. In Max Lucado wrote, when fear shapes our lives, safety becomes our God. When safety becomes our God, we worship the risk-free life. Do you know people like that? They want risk-free above anything else, undisturbed life. But can the safety lover do anything great? Can the risk-averse accomplish noble deeds for God, for others? It sucks the life out of the soul. It curls us into an embryonic state, and it drains us dry of contentment. When you live fearful lives, people that are frightened, people that are afraid even of themselves. And so the first thing that we learn from this experience is fear is a loss of control. And we love to be in control. We love to know what our agenda is. We love to know what's happening in our lives. And yet fear takes that from us. These fishermen were on the Sea of Galilee when a seismos erupted. You know, Martin Niemöller, who was a pastor during the Second World War, who actually confronted Hitler about the atrocities that he was committing. Early on in 1933, he attended a lecture by Hitler. to hear what he was trying to preach about the German people. And when he came home, his wife said, "So what have you learned about Hitler?" And he said, "I learned this about Herr Hitler. He is a very frightened man." When we are frightened, the tyranny begins to erupt within us. Have you ever known somebody that was very frightened, that becomes very agitated, very angry, very short, very tyrannical? Because they're frightened of something about themselves and about their future. Jesus said in John chapter 16, "In this world you will have trouble. Not that you might or that you could, but that you will have trouble." One of the great fallacies that we live with in our prosperity and in our technology age is that we have control. We don't have control of very little. Whenever we're faced with that seismic event, fear sucks the very life out of us. Jesus came in as a result of Easter and resurrection to say, "Trust in me. Trust in me. I will not leave you orphaned." Sometimes we have to recognize that when we get on board the boat with Jesus, sometimes it means we're going to get soaked. Sometimes when you sign up to be a Christian and follow what Jesus does, it means you're going to be stretched. You're going to be challenged. You're going to have to go farther than you wanted to go. The disciples said, I thought Jesus was in the boat, and here he is sleeping. Now, sometimes we recognize Jesus' sense of being was so centered that even in the midst of the storm, he wasn't afraid. He knew where his confidence resided. And yet sometimes we have such a meltdown, because the second thing we recognize is that faith will undermine your confidence. Faith will steal your confidence about what God is trying to do. Have you ever been around somebody that is in perhaps a hospital room or are facing a death? And they're saying, "Why did God let this happen? Why didn't God rescue me? I thought God loved me. Why didn't he take care of me?" You know, in Mark's gospel, Mark tells this exact same story. But at the end of Mark's telling of this story, the disciples come to Jesus and they say, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" You see, fear undermines our relationships. When we're afraid, we assume we're being punished. We assume that God is out to get us, or that God isn't listening, or that he doesn't care, or even worse, perhaps God doesn't exist at all. It's all been fake. The disciples go to Jesus and they say, "Jesus, don't you care about us? Look at what we're facing." And yet this was a moment for them to grow in their own relationship. It was an opportunity for them to experience even greater depth of what Jesus could do. Here he is sleeping in the bow of the boat, and they're terrorized because of what could happen. Jesus deals with our greatest fear, uncertainty, and our fear of death. If the boat had overturned, they're saying, that will be our greatest fear. We're going to die. And yet as Christians, not even that confounds us. We recognize that at the moment of death, a new life begins for us. We're not even afraid of death. And so the question is, are we living by faith or by fear? The third thing that happens is fear creates in us spiritual amnesia. Can you remember all of the times that God has blessed you? Times that God has been part of your life and has taught you something, opened up a new door for you? In a moment of fear, that seems to just fall away. We become so myopic. We only look at a small, said, "I don't see anything else. Why is God not solving my problem right now?" In Luke chapter 17, Jesus is talking to John the Baptist. John, that fiery preacher who went out to the Pharisees and said, "You brood of vipers, who brought you here now?" He's very passionate for God and seen what God has done in his life. But now he's in prison. And he's afraid. And he sends word and says, "Are you really the one, or should we look for somebody else?" And Jesus sends this news. He says in chapter 7, "Go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed. Remember who you are. Remember what God has done. Remember." what you have seen. So often we forget all of the blessings in that time of trial, that time of fear. We forget that God has been so good to us. We forget that Easter message, and we need to be reminded. As a matter of fact, in Matthew's gospel, in this verse in chapter 8, there's a preceding section. Matthew puts these together. And in Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, he's telling about how Jesus had gone to Peter's home, and they had brought all the people to be healed. The demon-possessed were brought to Jesus to be healed. Everybody was being healed by the miracles that he was doing, and then they got on the boat. What Matthew is trying to do is say, in one moment they've seen the blessings of Jesus, and in the next moment, in a moment of fear, they've forgotten all of them. In Matthew chapter 8, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he drove out the spirits with a word, and he healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he bore our diseases. And then they got on the boat. They have forgotten. You see, sometimes fear steals what God is really doing in our lives. We forget those values. We forget those promises of eternal life. So how do we overcome that fear? There's a story about a little boy, and maybe you've had this experience even as parents or as children. Have you ever had that experience where you're convinced that there's some demon living under your bed? You know, that every time that the floor creaks, you're convinced that monster is rolling around. It's late at night, and you wake up, and you kind of find that you need to go to the bathroom or you need a drink of water. But the last thing that you want to do is set a foot on that floor because you're going to get eaten by the monster. What is it that most kids will do in that moment? They'll cry out for a parent. They'll cry out for mom or dad because they know that whatever is under the bed is not going to mess with mom or dad. Mom or dad can survive anything. So they call for mom or dad to get them a drink or to take them by the hand and walk with them to the bathroom because they know that the person that they're holding their hand is mightier and has more power and more authority than anything living under their bed, real or imagined. And so what we need to do is have something that we believe in that is greater than life and greater than death, and that's Christ. There is nothing that you can face in this life that can overwhelm what Christ has already done for you. Our courage needs to be based in Christ. In Isaiah chapter 41, listen to what God is saying to you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. There is nothing that is more powerful or more authority than what God is doing in your life. If you believe that something is out to get you, then you are listening to your fears and not your faith. The resurrection, the power of the resurrection, is a visible, tangible sign that God is able even to deal with your death. Even in your death, Jesus has said, I will resurrect you. If you are in me, you can have confidence that I will come and get you. So is there anything in heaven, on our earth, on under the earth? Are there powers or principalities that can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? And Paul says an affirming, no, there is nothing that can separate you. And so we come to the end of saying, what difference does Easter make in your life? It offers you this decision. Will you live by faith or by fear as you move into the future? I love the quote in your sermon notes. It says, what fear does is it imprisons you in a prison of open doors. It pushes you into a corner by what you believe about yourself and about the world around you. What Jesus does in Easter is says, the door is open. Come on out. Trust me, follow me, and I will give you life, abundant life. The challenge that lies before you is whether you will take him at his word and you will follow him, or whether you will continue to live in fear and doubt about what you can't do rather than what you can do. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to ask a prayer of blessing on anyone that is dealing with doubts and fears. Father, just open up the door and invite them out into the light and into the warmth. Help us, O God, to continue to follow you, not listening to our doubts, but living by faith, by growing each and every day into the wisdom and to the grace of Christ. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.